Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. This is Double Coverage, all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today, a production of the Daily Journal. I want to remind you of some other podcasts to check out as well. Be sure to look for The Memo, our news podcast. Comes to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And also check out Prep Rally, all things high school sports. That's with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps, and also Double Coverage. Be back here with us once a week. We're usually with you on a Thursday or Friday, depending on what the schedule is. Logan, how's it going, man?
It's going good, Parrish. Seem like I'm going to Mississippi State campus every day this week. Had a basketball game Monday, basketball game Tuesday, press conference Wednesday, press conference today on Thursday. Got another press conference tomorrow on Friday, and then hitting the road to Knoxville on Saturday. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy week here for me.
Well, the Bulldogs, I don't know if exceed expectations is the right term for these guys, but they have seems like they've come together pretty quickly lately.
They've won, three straight games going into that Kentucky game on Tuesday and played really well in that game. And, they're 12-5 right now, 3-2 in the SEC. Didn't play well in that first SEC game against Alabama, but other than that, they've played really well here in conference play. Not many teams are going to play well against Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky won 88-81 the other night, and Mississippi State took them down to the wire in that ball game. It was an 18-point game. We had 13 minutes left to go in the game, so Kentucky was on the verge of running away with that thing. Mississippi State goes on a 13-0 run. I think it ended up being a 22-5 run, and cut the lead to 3. And as soon as Mississippi State cut that lead to 3, Kentucky spurted out. I think they went on a 5-0, 7-0 run, something like that, and kind of built their lead back up a little bit towards the end, and ended up winning that ball game. But Mississippi State played really well in that ball game. Shot 54.2% in that game. Kentucky shot 50.8%. So a lot of balls went in the basket that game. There wasn't a whole lot of rebounds to be had in that game. And one thing about it, though, there was a lot of fouls in that game. I think you experienced the same thing, Pierce. I think your game ended up having more fouls than mine did, and it seemed like mine was pretty excessive. I think there were 52 or 54 fouls called in mine or something like that, and it just seemed like there was a whistle every few minutes, and it really interrupted the flow of play. But the crowd at Mississippi State was unbelievable Tuesday night. It's kind of the first time I've seen that crowd that way since Rick Stansbury days. The end of it's been a long time since I've seen the Hawk Pack like that. The crowd really into the game. It's just been, for so many years, it's just been a half-full crowd. The crowd's really not that enthusiastic. The students really don't show up. The women are actually outdrawing the men over the last couple of years. And, this is really the first time. You saw a glimpse of it this past Saturday when Mississippi State beat Texas A&M at home. But, when Kentucky came to town, Mississippi State was on a three-game winning streak, two of those games being on the road. So I think people are kind of rejuvenated with their excitement about Mississippi State men's basketball. And it showed Tuesday night. Great, an unbelievable atmosphere. The place, the hump was rocking. I mean, I know you've heard those days. You experienced some of that back when you covered Mississippi State. It's just something about it. I guess just how close the crowd is actually to the court. And it's not like that in a lot of places. It's not the biggest arena, but it's one of the loudest when you get that thing full.
Well, and we've both seen it that way, and you're right. It was kind of starting to get that way when I was covering Mississippi State back in the late 1990s, I guess, the early early 2000s. It was kind of when Rick Stansberry was just turning the corner and getting things back. I got on the beat there right after the Final Four, and there were a couple of down seasons after that Final Four run. But Stansberry kind of slowly got it built back. And look, when they're playing well and winning, you're right. It's a huge atmosphere and people turn out and support. But when they're not playing well, and this is not just a Mississippi State thing. This is like worldwide. You know, winning just makes everything better all the time for everybody. It just winning cures everything. It just does. But it's a little disappointing when you have seen that atmosphere at any venue, at any school, and then that same level of success is not there, how quickly that can go away.
Exactly. I took it for granted, Parrish. You know, when I first started covering them, State was rolling, you know, under Rick Stansberry, and then things started to trickle off, and then Rick Ray never had the fan base behind him, I think there was a little bit of interest and a little bit of intrigue last year, you know, with Malik Newman, you know, highly touted recruit, supposed to be, you know, and I think people were curious to see how Ben Hallam was going to do this first year, and he didn't do that well. You know, it was kind of, you know, average season last year, a little below average, actually. And, you know, this year, it's taken a while. I mean, they didn't call well in the non-conference at all. I mean, it was still the same half empty Humphrey Coliseum through the non-conference, but you know they got on a roll here in conference play and had a good crowd on Saturday against Texas A&M, and you knew that they were going to be a big crowd for Kentucky, especially if they won that game against Texas A&M, which they did. So it was a huge atmosphere. You know, the final attendance numbers were 9,768. So it wasn't exactly a capacity crowd, but it sure felt like it. I mean, it was nearly full, and the crowd was into it. You know, even when the referees, like I said, he kind of took the crowd out of the game at some point. You know, just because there was so many fouls, so many free throw shots in that game, and you know, and it was on both sides. It wasn't like the referees were calling fouls against Mississippi State, not Kentucky. They were pretty bad on both sides. I mean, it was just. Really took away from the college basketball game, and I don't enjoy college basketball as much as I used to, just because there's so many fouls called now, and it just kind of becomes a free throw fest. But you know, Mississippi State played well. They've got a lot of young freshmen on this team, and they're really starting to turn that corner. You haven't seen them hit that freshman wall, and that's something to kind of watch it for over the next month or so, because you know it sometimes happens because they're just not used to this playing this many games and over this long of a stretch. So, you know, something to watch out for. But Lamar Peters Tuesday night was unbelievable. 25 points against Kentucky. He's playing exceptionally well since he joined the starting lineup. And, it was a good atmosphere.
Well, you mentioned empty seats. Now we're starting to see that at the pavilion a little bit. And look, it's just it's not a great product at Ole Miss right now. They have some issues, and like everywhere else, hey, when you win, people are going to come out. And right now the Rebels are struggling a little bit, 2-4 in SEC play, down to 7 scholarship players right now. As we record this on a Thursday morning, there is no update on Rashid Brooks, who collapsed with 17 minutes, 21 seconds remaining in the Tennessee game Tuesday night. Rebels went on to win that game 80-69, actually kind of came together. Andy Kennedy credited a togetherness from his players that he had not seen after the Brooks collapse. He thought that shook them up and they didn't play well coming out of that timeout, but kind of began to focus on the team and not themselves, and created some offense with defense and went on to win the game. Rashid Brooks had a seizure. Like I said, it was just minutes into the second half. It was your basic timeout, and I've got my head down writing, taking some notes, and other people up there in the media section doing the same thing. Then we look up, and there's a buzz in the crowd, and then it got really quiet, and we could see that they were attending Rashid there on the floor, and you know, and we knew he had collapsed. We saw him rolled off the floor on the stretcher, and I couldn't tell at that time if he was conscious or not. And I had someone tell me later that at that time, as he was leaving the floor, that he was kind of mostly unconscious, but kind of in and out of it a little bit at that time. Now, he regained consciousness in the ambulance on the way to the hospital there in Oxford, and he was listed later Tuesday evening in stable condition. His teammates did go and visit him that night, and you could see a picture that was circulated on social media there from Ole Miss staff photographer Josh McCoy. And, you know, we hope that hope for the best for Rasheed Brooks. Still no word on what might have caused that or really how his health is right now, other than the fact that he was listed as stable late Tuesday evening. So we may get an update on Rasheed later today, and we'll certainly pass that along. But with Rasheed not available, Ole Miss now is down to 7 scholarship players. They've lost 3 scholarship players in a matter of 8 days. When you go back to the Georgia game and DeAndre Burnett, the Rebels' leading scorer, going out with a high ankle sprain. Then the day before, or the day they were leaving to go to South Carolina for last Saturday's game, it was announced that Andy Kennedy had dismissed freshman center Nate Morris. And now Rasheed Brooks. So 7 scholarship players. And it's interesting, Logan, when the, you know, when the numbers get this slim, obviously people are going to play more minutes. But sophomore guard Dante Fitzpatrick Dorsey only played 3 minutes against Tennessee. You know, this is a guy that was the number 178 player, according to 247 Sports, in his signing class, and kind of was viewed as like an up-and-comer and just not getting much out of Fitzpatrick Dorsey right now. He's not getting very many opportunities. But looking at this box score from the Tennessee game, you know, basically 8 players played, 6 of them played 26 minutes or more. And Rasheed Brooks would have played more minutes, but he ended up with 15 minutes played in the game. Sebastian Saiz right now averaging a double-double, and has been really the Rebels' most consistent player. He's leading the SEC in minutes, and that's a concern as you get closer to the end of games, and then as you get deeper in the schedule, it's not a good thing to be leading the SEC in minutes. You know. You got to have your legs, man, in basketball, in any sport. You've got to have leg strength. And when you're playing that much, you know, you're going to lose some of that late in game. So anyway, the Rebels down to 7 scholarship players. But honestly, you know, they had issues before they started losing these players. And, you know, it's a team that has not scored well, has not been effective. Shooting the ball has been really inconsistent there. It's a transfer-heavy team, and they, from the outset, were going to rely a great deal on Burnett, a transfer from Miami who sat out last year, on Cullen Neal, the transfer from New Mexico, a graduate transfer, played at New Mexico last year, and so got to Oxford this summer, and also on a European transfer, Eustace Firmanovicius. And these guys have not, they've not stepped in and made major contributions night in and night out the way Kennedy would have hoped. Now, they've had big plays and big games, but we've not seen a cohesiveness from this group. And I thought Andy Kennedy's comments were very telling after the game against Tennessee Tuesday night when I asked him, what helped the Rebels turn things around like they just flipped a switch with 15 minutes left. You know, they had come out of the Brooks timeout at that time, and, you know, they were down by 5, and that deficit grew, and all of a sudden it's 15 minutes to play, and you're down 13, and that Tennessee game is looking a whole lot like the Georgia game from the week before when the Rebels lost 69-47 at home to a Georgia team that is just okay. They're good, but they're not one of the better teams in the league right now. And so the Tennessee game was heading that direction, and with 15 minutes left, it looked like they just flipped a switch. And what Kennedy talked about was just togetherness, was guys focusing not on themselves and focusing on the team. He said when you're focusing on the team, you don't have time to think about dribbling it off your foot or missing a block out or an assignment or being in the wrong place. And he really stressed that for those 15 minutes, he thought the Rebels really played as a team. And he said for the last month, he's tried to get them to be less self-absorbed, in his words. And he said, look, that's the nature of our society today. He said it's the nature of many young men this age, of the college student. And, it's been a problem. And he felt like for 15 minutes, the Rebels got away from that problem and played together. I will tell you, for those 15 minutes, they were pretty good defensively. They created some offense with their defense, got out in transition. Terrence Davis was really good. He's very athletic. And when he gets in the open floor, he's hard to stop. And I think he scored in transition three times as the Rebels took control of that game. But the MVP, I would say, was Brian Tyree, the freshman point guard, whose role has really increased as these numbers have dwindled. And he was in the starting lineup against Tennessee. He was 4 for 11 from the floor, which is not outstanding. He was 7 for 8 from the free throw line, which is pretty good. And you need your point guard to hit those free throws. But the thing that Tyree did was play better as the game went on. This is a guy who's really quick. Not quite as quick as Chris Warren back in the day at Ole Miss, but same style, a little bit bigger than Warren, but the same style of player who can get past an opponent and get to the rim. He has not been as explosive, Tyree, as he was in recruiting, according to Kennedy, because he's been coming off that ACL injury, but that may be about to change. He really did a good job of getting to the rim against the Vols, and at the end of the game, he did a great job of finishing plays and scoring at the rim, which is something he hadn't been doing. But he did not lose his confidence during that time. He remained undaunted and would take it to the hole at every opportunity. Had a lot of those shots blocked, but he was finishing plays in the second half against the Vols, and he finished with 15 points and 6 assists. Three turnovers and a steal in 30 minutes. So he was singled out by Tennessee coach Rick Barnes, who said he thought Tyree really controlled the game and did what he wanted to do. And that's going to be big for this team right now. DeAndre Burnett is day-to-day. Maybe they'll have him against Missouri this weekend, maybe not. But when he comes back, what Tyree is doing right now doesn't necessarily mean that Burnett will go immediately to point guard. He had been moved to point guard for a couple of games and seemed to be doing well there. The Rebels were doing well with Cullen Neal over at the shooting guard. That had helped Neal a little bit as well. But, Tyree playing well will shake things up a little bit and will give them more depth when Burnett does return.
Yeah, and, just talking about, being out of the 7 scholarship players, seems like I've dealt with that the last 2-3 years, maybe even 4 years. It seemed like Rick Ray never had any more than 7 scholarship players on his team. Somebody was always hurt or transferred or wasn't eligible or something going on along those lines. And, start the year off last year, it was the same thing for the first half of Ben Howland's tenure. We just didn't have enough guys. And what that does, Parrish, it hurts your ability to practice. Obviously it affects your bench during the game. You're not able to play as many players during the game, but you can't even have a full 5-on-5 practice. And during Rick Ray's time, they were actually having assistant coaches and managers out there practicing with the team. One of the assistant coaches or graduate assistants tore his ACL out there, in practice because he was going against. They just needed bodies out there to practice. And that's one of the things that it hurts. You're not able to actually play 5-on-5 against an effective level of competition to get you a good look. prepared for some of these games.
Well, as Ole Miss tries to regroup right now and tries to get healthy, and, you know, we'll see what Brooks's status is. We know Burnett is expected back at some point, hopefully for them sooner rather than later. But at least for Ole Miss right now, the schedule is kind of flipping a little bit. And not that it's going to be easy or that anything's going to be easy for this team right now. But the Rebels are at Missouri Saturday, then come back and have Texas A&M at home. Those teams are a combined 1-10 in SEC play right now. It doesn't mean they're going to be automatic wins for Ole Miss by any stretch, but three of the Rebels' first five SEC games were Kentucky, Florida, and South Carolina, which were all unbeaten until South Carolina defeated Florida last night. So right now, those teams, Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, a combined 16-1 in SEC play. Again, there are some internal issues, some cohesion, and just some consistency on offense that the Rebels have to address, no matter how many players they have. But look, at least with the numbers they have right now, maybe they can get some of these guys back and get through not the most difficult part of their schedule. Shifting gears a little bit, Logan, let's talk about women's basketball. We have a few minutes left. Mississippi State rolling right along. The most recent victim was Ole Miss on Monday night. Now, you and I were texting a little bit after the game, and you said that Matt Ansel, the Ole Miss coach, might be becoming public enemy number one in Starkville, which is, I would think, as an Ole Miss coach, that might be high praise. But what's the relationship right now in the rivalry between the women's teams?
Well, I think it's kind of bigger from Ole Miss's perspective against Mississippi State, because that's the level that they're trying to get to. Mississippi State, obviously the number four team in the country right now, undefeated, 19-0. One of only two undefeated teams left in the country. And it wasn't that far, you don't have to go digging very far back in the past where those teams were kind of on the same level. They were kind of trading wins, they're splitting the series every year. And Mississippi State's kind of dominated things over the last 3 years probably in that series, and, kind of has kind of moved on, and, they're looking ahead to, teams like they're playing this weekend against, South Carolina, who they're going to be battling again this year for the SEC championship, it looks like. But, still Ole Miss, Mississippi State, there's still a rivalry there. That's still a game that's very important to the fan base, very important to the players who are still out there on the floor. And you can tell that, Monday when they played that ball game. I mean, it was a crowd of 8,840 showed up to the Hump to watch that ball game. So it was the second largest crowd they've ever had for women's basketball, second largest crowd ever to watch women's basketball in the state of Mississippi. And it was another unbelievable atmosphere to watch basketball. I feel like I've been spoiled this week.
It'll take about half of Ole Miss's SEC home games for the Rebels to reach that figure for women's basketball. Just a little perspective there. But, I got tickled watching Matt Ensel's press conference, watching a video of it. He's intense now, and he's inherited a very bad situation with sanctions and scholarship cuts and whatnot, and he's worked through that. But the thing about this team, I remember, Ole Miss won two conference games last year, and for the most part wasn't competitive. They upset Kentucky along the way, and that was good, but it was just it was a very difficult season for Ole Miss last year. The improvement that this team is showing right now is basically with the same players. There have been a couple of key additions, particularly in the post, with Taylor Manuel, a graduate transfer who is there for one season, and Shelby Gibson, a freshman. So that makes them a little bit different. But they've gotten off to a good SEC start. They had the win against Tennessee. And again, it's most of the same cast as last season, and so when you can do that, that's a good coaching job. Now, it's by no means finished. Matt Ensel says he believes that this team is capable of reaching the NCAA tournament. Well, they're going to have to do more than play close. They're going to have to win some of these games they have coming up, and they're going to have to win somewhere on the road too. You know, they're not going to be favored when Mississippi State comes to Oxford, no matter how well the Rebels play at home. So they've got some things that they have to solve, but if they can, and if they can continue to improve, you know, they can put themselves in the NCAA tournament conversation. And just to do that would be a win for this team and this program for where it has been.
Yeah, and they did a good job on Mississippi State's post the other night. I mean, you mentioned Joseph and Gibson, you know, kind of there were different shapes and sizes out there as far as, you know, in the post. I mean, obviously, Mississippi State goes 6'5 and 6'7 in the post, kind of, you know, tall and muscular. And, you know, Joseph and Gibson aren't that tall, but they're just a big body down there. And they did a good job keeping Mississippi State from just dropping the ball down the post and using their size just to kind of lay it off the glass and into the hole. They kept Mississippi State's posts from getting down there very low to catch the ball. They were catching the ball out, you know, a little beyond their range, and, you know, usually would just pass the ball right back out. So I thought that was one thing that Ole Miss did well. Mississippi State didn't play their best, you know, against Ole Miss the other night. The final score was 73-62. You know, shot the ball 38% in that ball game. But, you know, Victoria Vivian, she can just go off at any moment, you know, and they did a good job on her, I think, in the first half. But, you know, you just can only keep her down for so long. She's going to get, you know, her points. I mean, she finished with 23 points. Dominique Dillingham had an incredible first half. She scored 13 the first 16 in the first half of that game. And it was kind of Dominique Dillingham scoring in the first half, Victoria Vivian scoring in the second half. And they just got so many weapons throughout that team. If Victoria's having an off night, you know, there's somebody else that always steps up, whether it's Morgan William or Chinwe Okoro or Brianna Richardson. Just anybody on that team can step up. Sometimes they get, you know, unlikely sources of scoring from, you know, Blair Schaefer off the bench, or just anybody on that team that plays. They're really deep. They're really experienced. And that's why they are the number four team in the country right now. They're playing really good basketball. They actually have to go on the road for the next two games. They play at Alabama tonight, then they go they go to South Carolina on Sunday. So or on Monday, I'm sorry. It's one of those rare Monday games again. So back-to-back road games from Mississippi State, but the road's nothing new. They played most of their non-conference away from Humphrey Coliseum, so we'll have to see if they can keep this undefeated streak going.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out our news podcast, The Memo, with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi, every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs every Wednesday with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for another edition of Double Coverage.